Well, as you can see today, we're celebrating communion. Today's a communion service, and we don't always preach about communion every time we take communion, but tonight I just really felt led to really talk about communion. And I want to first of all start off in the communion scripture that everybody reads, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23. And we're going to start off there and talk about just really what was kind of on my heart tonight. It says, verse 23, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 says this, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same manner, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." But I want you to notice that there was two things he said about the bread and about the cup was, "Do this in remembrance of me." You know, whenever we take communion, we do it in remembrance of Jesus Christ. And today, whenever I was thinking about what I was going to minister on and how I was going to put everything together, I just started remembering about Jesus Christ and what he's done. But you know, it all starts out that he came. You know, if Jesus never came, we would never have communion. If Jesus never came, the world would be totally different. I mean, you know, obviously we all know the story, you know, back in Genesis when God created the world and, you know, he had a man, you know, he created man and woman, and he communed with them and everything seemed to be really good. And all of a sudden, one day, the sneaky devil snuck into the Garden of Eden. And, you know, he tempted the man and woman and they ate from the tree. And then there came a division between God and man. You know, and it was God's ultimate plan to bring Jesus Christ, to bring forth, you know, the man and God back together again. And it's because Jesus came and died and rose again that we, you know, we have what we have today. But really, we, you know, in our communion service, first of all, we need to thank God. You know, God's such a good God, but you know, it says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son," that he gave us Jesus. If God wouldn't have given us Jesus, think how different our world would be. Think, you know, what a different world we live in, but Jesus Christ came to this earth. I mean, you know, whenever he came, you know, he came, and one of the names that they gave him, they said he was the Prince of Peace. You know what? He came to bring peace to all mankind. You know, and it's interesting, at Christmas time, we always talk about peace on earth and goodwill to men or whatever. You know that Jesus didn't just come to bring peace on earth and goodwill to men at Christmas time. Do you realize that? I mean, you know, we only bring that scripture out at Christmas time because it's a Christmas scripture, because we're celebrating the birth of Jesus. But he came to bring peace on earth and goodwill to men all the time, not just at Christmas. And so many times, you know, we read certain scriptures, you know, and we kind of relegate those scriptures to where it is. You know, this is an Easter scripture. This is a Christmas scripture, you know, and all these things. You know, it's just like, you know, the one scripture, you know, talks about the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells on the, you know, on the inside of us and will quicken our mortal body. And we read that scripture when we're tired. You know, and I guess it works for that. You know, if you're tired, I guess it's better than Red Bull or some other energy drink that you might want to drink. You know, it gives you more than wings. But, you know, it said the same power that was on the inside of Jesus that raised him from the dead is also on the inside of you. And that's much more pertinent. You know, it not just wakes you up, it's with you all the time. You know, but it's interesting how we kind of regulate scriptures to certain things, because what if Jesus wouldn't have came? I mean, you know, and I don't even know that we all know the Christmas story and the shepherds came and the three wise men came and all that kind of stuff. But I don't even know that they realized the significance of what happened that day. I don't think even Mary, you know, and Joseph, his parents, you know, their earthly parents, even realized the significance of what happened the day Jesus was born. Because really, we and I don't even know that we fully understand everything that happened and everything that will happen because of Jesus and because he came. And I think it's an honor and privilege to every once in a while think back and remember what he did. And we can't remember what he did unless we remember that he came. He came to earth to bring peace on earth and goodwill to men. You know, and so many times in the world we live in, we don't see a lot of peace, especially if you watch the news, you don't see a lot of peace on earth and goodwill to men. But, you know, sometimes I have to remember and remind myself that Jesus came to bring peace on earth and goodwill to men, even though whenever it doesn't seem peaceful. One thing he did, though, he really came so that we can have the peace that passes all understanding overtaking our souls in the middle of what seemingly is not a peaceful situation. See, he came to bring you peace when it doesn't even look like peace on the outside. Because it's not really about outward peace. He didn't come to bring outward peace. He came to bring peace on the inside. And that's a different peace. I mean, that that's great. I mean, I'm glad when we have peace on the outside, it makes life, better. But you know what? If you have peace on the inside, it doesn't matter what's happened on the outside. Remember, man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. It's on the inside that really counts. And on the inside, you have peace. And sometimes you got to remind yourself that you can have peace in the middle of what looks like the worst storm imaginable that you've ever experienced. But you know what? It doesn't matter what you've experienced or what you haven't experienced, because you know what? You have enough peace on the inside of you to get through anything that ever comes your way. And it's all because of Jesus. It's all because Jesus came to bring that peace to us. Jesus came to bring peace on earth. You know, another thing that Jesus said over, I read it quite a bit in John 10:10. It talks about the thief. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He comes to try to destroy your life. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. An abundant life is a full supply. All right, you should have a full supply. And if you don't have a full supply, it's you can have if you'll trust in him. If you'll give him your problems, your cares, and, it says cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. You can have a full supply because you know what? That is his will. And, that's the will of God. That's the will of the Son for you to have an abundant life. And sometimes you have to remind yourself, when it doesn't look like things are abundantly, you know what? Jesus came so that I can have an abundant life. You know, there are times whenever I've been going through some stressful situations, in my own family, whether it be me, whether it be my wife or kids or whatever. And then, it all of a sudden hits me that Jesus didn't come for me to have to suffer these situations. But Jesus came for me to overcome that. He came that I can have an abundant life. And these are the things that we need to remember when we take in forth communion. That this is what he did. He came. Now, at that point in time, whenever he said those words, he came that we might have an abundant life. I believe he was talking about life on earth. But I think it was a metaphor to say, but through his death, burial, and resurrection, he also came to provide us life, hereafter. All right. He came to provide us an abundant life, the rest of our life, whether it's here or in heaven. Jesus Christ came to change our life. But then I think about all the things he did on the earth whenever he was with his disciples and the different things. Well, I mean, just like, for our ministry, I mean, think about, when Jesus taught his disciples how they can speak to a mountain. And it was that story after Jesus had cursed a fig tree. And then he talked about, what if you can say even to this mountain, be moved. And if you say it with your mouth, believe in your heart, you can have whatever you say. And that's the element that my grandfather got a hold of. But think about all the teachings that Jesus taught that we teach today. If Jesus wouldn't have came, we wouldn't have those things to live by. We wouldn't have all these teachings. We wouldn't understand. I mean, all the parables. I know I was even teaching this week about the Good Samaritan story. We wouldn't have a story about the Good Samaritan. We wouldn't have, you know, his laws of love, that we should love our neighbor as ourselves, that we can, you know, we should love everybody. We wouldn't have any of that. I mean, there's so many things that Jesus did more than just walking on the water and feeding the 5,000. But you know what? I was thinking about this the other day, and maybe you'll never have an opportunity to feed 5,000 people. You know, that was men only. There was 5,000 plus women and children. A little bit later, he feeds 4,000 plus women and children. You know, but the story, sometimes we look at that and like, well, that's a miracle. I can never do that. But Jesus said, the things that I do and greater things shall you do because I go to the Father. And basically because he sends the Holy Spirit to be with us. But you know, the point of the story is not the fact that he fed 5,000 or that he fed 4,000 plus women and children. The point of the story is he took what he had. He took what he had, he blessed it, and he met the needs of the people that were around him. Because he saw a people who were hurting. He saw people that needed food, that people that were going through you know they were hungry. You know, but we can learn a lesson that we can take what we have. And what we have is we have Jesus Christ. You know, and you know, just a small amount that we even know. And we can help people who are hurting. You know, and you know, the thing about it is that not only did he feed them, afterwards there was more than enough. You know, with Jesus there's always more than enough. But we would have never got that if we wouldn't have heard his teachings. You know, he's more than enough. But he's always there for us. I mean, you know, we also read, and you know, where my favorite scripture is Jesus, you know, did good. He went about the cities and villages, you know, preaching, teaching, healing, and doing good. He was a good man. People loved him. You know, and we obviously sung in children's church that Jesus loves the little children of the world, but he loves everybody of the world, even when they grow up. You know, Jesus still loves you, red, yellow, black, or white. You're precious in his sight, no matter how old you get. He still loves you. Because you know that you know, it doesn't matter how old your kids are, they're still your kids. You know, even though they're bigger than you are, they're still your kids. You know, and you're proud of your kids or whatever. But Jesus loves you whether you're a kid, whether you're an adult. And, you know, because we live in a world where 50 is the new 20, you know, that people are always a kid, it seems, sometimes. So, you know, I don't know if 50 is 20, you know, because, you know, I at least, you know, at 50, you have more wisdom than you do when you're 20. That's for sure. Well, hopefully you do. If you don't, then you have a real problem. We need to pray for you. But, you know, Jesus did so much for us when he walked the earth. And we learned so much, you know, but, and in fact, that as we read the word, it, you know, he was, you know, he walked the earth as a man. And it says he was tempted as a man. You know, think if Jesus was like many of us, whenever we're tempted, if he fell, if he didn't complete the mission. Because obviously, well, he couldn't have done it. Yes, he could. He had a choice. In fact, he even told the Father, Father, if there be any other way, let this cup pass from me. Find another way. You know, I mean, you know, so it was obvious, even though he knew what was going to happen, he really didn't want to go through that. Because, you know, he knew that it was going to be antagonizing. He knew it wasn't going to be easy, but he was willing to do that for you and I. You know, when he was going through all that, he even, you know, told the Father, said, Father, forgive them, for they don't even know what they're doing. You know, that they don't know that by, you know, by torturing me and by doing all this, they don't know what they're doing. You know, but you know what they were doing? They were fulfilling prophecy. They were changing our lives. You know, and it had to be done. And you know, it was an amazing thing. I want to read from Isaiah, which, you know, obviously, you know, when Isaiah was written, this was well before that Jesus died on the cross. But Isaiah, you know, tells us, Isaiah 53 tells us about Jesus' death on the cross and what it meant for us. And I'm gonna start Isaiah 53:4. I'm gonna first read from the New King James Version. Isaiah 53:4-5. I'll give you a few minutes to turn there. I mean, this is, you know, a scripture because, you know, we read over in Peter where it says that by his stripes we were healed, but here it even goes into greater detail. It was more than the stripes. It says, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." You know, this says that Jesus was wounded for us. You know, in all essence, we should be the one hanging on the cross for what we've done. And, but it says that he has borne our griefs and he carried our sorrows. So. You know, by thinking about that, and I know it's hard whenever you're going through your griefs and your sorrows, you know, it's hard to remember, but somehow, some way, you know, we need to remember the word, and when we're going through our times of grief and sorrows, we need to understand that Jesus already carried those for us. Yes. Through his grief and sorrow there on the cross, he carried those griefs and sorrows for us. You know, and he helped us overcome those before we even had them. And, you know, it goes on to say, but he was wounded for our transgression. He was wounded for our sins. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And you know, I heard someone talking about this one time. It says, basically, everything that you need to obtain peace was upon him. So through his death, he brought forth peace, because you know what? Yes, you know, whenever he came, he was bringing peace on earth, a goodwill to men, but it really didn't really accumulate until his death. At that point in time, he was bringing you peace. The peace that passes all understanding through his death on that cross. He was bringing you everything you need to obtain peace. And you can have peace into the middle of a storm because you can understand that he took the stripes on his back. He took your griefs and he took your sorrows. He took your pains and he took a hold of your sins. And he died for you. And you know, and it says that by his stripes we are healed. Now, reading this from the Amplified, because obviously the Amplified, you know, goes in more detail. It says this, it says, but in fact, so it's a fact that he has borne our griefs and he has carried our sorrows and pains. Yet ignorantly, we assume that he was stricken and struck down by God and degraded and humiliated by him. You know, we thought, well, God was mad at him. That's what they thought. I mean, you know, but here's the thing I was thinking about today. And, you know, I think it's hard for most people. You know, maybe that you were like I was, and you grew up in a Christian home, and you grew up in church, you know, all your life, and you're thinking, well, really, I haven't done anything wrong. I mean, I haven't done a lot of bad stuff, and, you know, so he didn't really have to carry my pain. But you know what? If he wouldn't have died on the cross, I might have done a lot of bad stuff. Because just because, you know, my relatives got a hold of the scripture and brought that down to me, but what if this wouldn't ever happen? What if it wouldn't ever happen? You know, and so sometimes, because now, obviously, if you're one of those that was not a really good person who had a lot of issues in life and then you found Jesus, you can relate to the scripture. But a lot of people I know, you know, that were brought up in church and, you know, spent their whole life in church. And, you know, now once again, being brought up in church doesn't save you. Amen. All right. Just by, you know, just the same way by sleeping in your garage doesn't make you a car. I mean, if you want to set your bed up in your garage and you want to, you know, you want to open the garage door and walk in and go to sleep, you're never going to become a car that way. All right. The only way through salvation is accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Many people, you know, they grow up in church, but they didn't get a hold of what church meant to be in church. But I mean, you know, I know many people that were brought up in church, they were born again at a young age, and they really didn't go through an area where they did a lot of bad stuff, and they're thinking, well, I can't relate. But the point is, if he would have never came, you could relate. Because you might have not, you know, it was because the teachings of your parents and your grandparents and the fact that they brought you to church every week. You know, in fact, back in the 50s and 60s, there was a real drug problem in Europe, and they set forth a survey trying to figure out, you know, is there something that had a drug problem among the young people, you know, and so they were saying that, and the only thing that they found out was the people that tended not to use drugs were the ones who attended church at least 50 or more times in their life. That was the only thing that they could come up with. They looked across, you know, different kind of social settings and how they were brought up, what kind of school they went to. And they found the only difference was the people who went to church and the people who didn't. You know, and I believe that if, you know, we weren't, you know, obviously you understand, if Jesus wouldn't have came, I mean, you know, we wouldn't have church like we have church. You know, maybe some of us would still be Jewish. Now think about that one. Think about, you know, if you're under the old covenant, do you know how many things you would have to kill? You know, and all, I mean, when I read the Old Testament, I'm thinking, you know, I thank God that Jesus came so I didn't have to do any of that. Amen. I mean, think about all the laws you'd have to remember. Right. Okay, let me think about this. When I do this, now, is that 3 rams or 5 rams? Now, do I have to have, is it just rams? Or do I have to have some doves? Or do I need a partridge in a pear tree? What do I need? I mean, think about this. You know, every time you come to church, I mean, every time you come to the temple, I mean, it gets bloody and stuff. I mean, you're bringing all these. I mean, think about all the animals we'd have to have. Now, of course, some of you think like me, you know, what you would do is you would have a bunch of rams, lambs, birds out in front of the church be selling it to the people needing redemption. You know, Craig's rams or Craig's rams, lambs, and other paraphernalia, you know. So, I mean, I'm just thinking of, because not everybody's a farmer. Not everybody has those. I'd make sure everybody had the right, you know, and in fact, I would keep all the rules on my iPad here. So I'd say, okay, you guys, you need, no, son, what have you done this week? Okay, this is what you need. And we laugh about it, but think about if that's what you had to deal with. That's what would happen if Jesus wouldn't have came. I mean, that you would have had to follow all the laws and all the rules and all the, you know, trying to figure out all the different things and, you know, and, you know, and if you're not clean, then you have to do all this and show yourself to a priest and, you know, all these different things. You know, it's not fun. I don't even know how they kept track of all this stuff. You know, there's a lot of laws and a lot of rules and a lot of stuff. You know, but we have Jesus. Hallelujah. I mean, you know, I think about what my life would be without Jesus. I mean, I don't know if I would even be here. I don't know if my grandfather would have, you know, would have been here. I don't know if I've ever been born. I don't know if you would have ever been born. I mean, you never think about what would have happened, but you know, you realize, you know, okay, if Thomas Edison would have never lived, I personally believe that somebody else would have invented the light bulb. All right, somebody. I mean, I'm assuming by the 20th century that somebody would have, you know, would have came across a light bulb somewhere, somehow, you know, something, you know, and I personally believe that a lot of other inventions would have been invented. But if Jesus wouldn't have came, nobody else would have came. Right. You understand? He is the way, the truth, the life. He, you know, and nobody comes to the Father except through him. I mean, you know, and I believe if a lot of our founding fathers, for whatever reason, wasn't born, a lot of things, you know, still would happen. And to, just to throw you, this is totally unrelated, and I can't believe I'm bringing this up, but I'm thinking about it, so I have to bring it up because I'm thinking about it in my own mind. Some of you may or may not have seen, there's a show on NBC on Monday nights called Timeless, and they've... It's a time machine type deal, and it's kind of a weird plot. They're chasing people through time or whatever, but someone's trying to go back in time and redo certain events, you know, and change the outcome. And just by a certain thing, like they went back to the Hindenburg disaster, and they tried to save the Hindenburg, but it didn't blow up when it would happen, but later on it did. But then it ended up that they came back to the current day. And her sister was never born, you know, because it turned out that one of the ancestors that they were supposed to die in the Hindenburg didn't die and married her father, and so she never was born. So it was a long, it was, and what was the interesting part about it is her mom, who was dying, of lung cancer, wasn't sick anymore because she got lung cancer because her husband was a smoker. Her husband got her smoking. So, I mean, you know, how it was interesting how one thing that happened, although most of the stuff ended up still happening, but how one person that didn't die changed history. You know, and they've gone on and like they were, it was kind of interesting. But interesting part about it is, you know, if Jesus wouldn't have came, it would have really changed history. Amen. I mean, you know, think about this. The Bible is the best-selling book, you know, in the world. Would it be if Jesus wouldn't have died? If he wouldn't have came? I mean, I don't know. I mean, because, I mean, it would only be the Old Testament. There wouldn't be a new one there. So if nothing else, it'd be a whole lot shorter. I mean, you know, because the Apostle Paul wouldn't have, he would have been Saul if he was even born. You know, I mean, there's so many things that we have because of Jesus that we never even think about. Anyway, but going to the Amplified version of Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, it says, but in fact, he has borne our grief and has carried our sorrows and pains. Yet ignorantly, we assume that he was stricken and struck down by God and degraded and humiliated by him. But he was wounded for our transgressions. This is what it says he was crushed for our wickedness, our sin, our injustice, our wrongdoing. And like I said, some of you think, well, I'm not doing any of that, you know, but it's because he came that you're not doing any of that. You know, the punishment required for our well-being fell upon him, and by his stripes, his wounds, we are healed. You know, it's all because of Jesus, but because Jesus, he was born, he died and he rose again. Now we're able to live a different life. I mean, you know, now being born again, I mean, you know, we have things like we can use his name. I mean, he gave us his name to use. That whenever the devil is trying to come at us, we can say in the name of Jesus, you have no right, no authority. You know, because we talked about renewing our mind, you know, having the mind of Christ, but we couldn't have had the mind of Christ if Christ would have never came. You know, and you know, if we, having the mind of Christ and doing what Jesus would do, if we would have never read the Gospels and what he did, then we couldn't really know what he would do. And so there's so many things that we'd be different if Jesus would have never came. I mean, you know, and so sometimes, like I said, whenever we remember him, we need to remember how good we have it. Amen. Because Jesus came. It says we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us or gives us the strength or gives us the ability, or gives us the power. See, that's all through Christ. Everything that we have is through Christ. You know, in fact, Paul was preaching and he said, you know what? I came to you not with, you know, eloquent speech or anything else, but I just come to know Jesus Christ and him crucified. You know, and he was talking about, I'm just here to tell you about Jesus and to tell you about what he did for you and to tell you about how you can live a better life because he did come, because he did die, because he did rise again, and because he is seated at the right hand of the Father, and because the Holy Spirit that's with us, that leads us, that guides us, that shows us the way, and it's all because of Jesus. I mean, even Jesus said, you know what? You guys are better off because I go. I mean, see, you know, whenever he was just there, he was there for the disciples. But now that he's in heaven, his Spirit's here for everybody. For all of us. I mean, you know, and many people, they've said, well, if you could live in any other time in the world, when would it be? And I like it now. Number one, we have really good technology. We also have air conditioning and heat and electricity and showers, running water in our house. I mean, think about that. I mean, some of you could have lived in a stinky generation, you know, where you took a bath once a week. Hopefully you were the preferred one in the family so you get clean water because, you know, that's where the whole saying, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, because usually the baby got washed last after everybody else took their bath in a bunch of water. So, I mean, you know, I get them. You know, my dad even, you know, talked about, you know, some houses that didn't have a path. And some of you might, maybe you relate to the path. I'm glad I don't have a path. I'm glad I have a toilet in my house with running water that flushes. You know, the other day I had a plumbing problem, had to shut the water off, you know, and, you know, never thought about different things. I mean, you can do without, you know, taking a shower or washing your hands or whatever, but you got to go to the bathroom after a while, you know, and if, you know, yeah, you can go to the restroom, you know, in the toilet, but if you have the number two thing, you know, you want to get that down there. And so, you know, you never thought about the inconvenience that it caused. And so, of course, you know, just for some of you that maybe get your water turned off, you get one flush, all right, because there's already water, you know, that's already there, so you get one flush. So you do have one flush. But, you know, you never think about that. I mean, you know, thought about, well, I'm just not going to have, you know, going to take a shower. Or, you know, I had to brush my teeth and well, thank God I had some bottled water that I was able to rinse my mouth out and stuff. But it was kind of a pain for that day. Thank God it was only like a day. You know what if it was like a lifetime? So, you know, I'm glad I live in this generation. But whether you're glad or not, you're alive now. Because I know some people, though, oh, I wish I lived then, wish this, wish that. You know, I don't care. Quit wishing upon a star like Walt Disney and start thanking God for what we have. Thank God that Jesus did come. Thank God that Jesus does change your life. You know, but something else, though, is don't forget about Jesus when you're going through problems. Don't forget about that we have Jesus when we're going through stuff. Remember him. Remember, you know, that he has given us power and authority through his name. The Bible says, ask anything in my name and I'll do it. Whatever you need, just ask. And we have so many wonderful scriptures, and I'm so thankful for Jesus. I'm thankful for what he did upon the cross. I'm thankful for what he did through his life. I'm thankful for, you know, that he did come. I'm thankful that that he changed my life. You know, the thing about it is, I mean, you know, when we pray, in Jesus' name. So, you know, so if Jesus wouldn't ever, I would have changed our prayers. You know, so it's interesting. You know, so many people don't realize how much different it would be if Jesus didn't come. You know, but the thing about it is, remember how much easier he's made it for us. Amen. Remember that he's still there, that he, the Bible says that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. So, we're, you know, that he's always with us. Jesus is always with us at all times. You know, and Jesus is not in the church building. He's not in just in a communion element. Jesus is always with us. You know, because I know so many times people say, well, I'm sick. I need to get to church to get healed. No, you can get healed right there where you are. I mean, if you know what to do. I mean, it's so awesome that we have Jesus. And it's so awesome that we can remember what he's done for us and how much he loves us. You know, and I'm so glad that Jesus did come. I'm so glad that he came to bring peace on earth and goodwill to men. I'm glad that he came, you know, that we can have life and have it more abundantly. I'm glad that he took the stripes on his back so that we could be healed. I'm glad that he took all my pains and all my sorrows and all everything that I, you know, should be stricken for. He took it for me. And that's why it actually really bothers me really bad when somebody says that they're suffering for Jesus, that Jesus put this sickness on them and they're suffering for him. Because you know what? Jesus suffered so much for you. I mean, in fact, so much that they say that the most glorious, you know, video elements whenever, you know, we see Jesus dying on the cross and taking the stripes on his back don't even come close to how bad it really was. Because if I showed how bad it really was, you know, it would be gross. It would be gory. But you know what? It wasn't gross because that blood was spilled for you and I. You know, and I guess, I mean, we have to think about these. The Jewish people, that, I mean, I guess they're used to gross things because of all the lambs and the rams and all these things being slaughtered. But think, Jesus was slaughtered, so there were no more rams that had to be slaughtered. So no more lambs had to be slaughtered. I mean, he was the precious lamb that was slaughtered for us. And so many times, you know, so many times I think we just take it for granted. You know, and I get it. It's great that Jesus did come and, you know, and we can ask forgiveness, you know, and all those kind of things. But sometimes we take it for granted that, you know, that we have that ability. You know, we take it for granted what he did for us and how much he did suffer, because he suffered as a man. I mean, like I said, he asked the Lord, if there be any other way, can you take this from me? You know, he agonized before it happened. I mean, it was not an easy thing for him to do, but he was willing to do it for you and I. You know, and that's why I think it's, you know, an awesome thing to be able to have a communion time and be able to just say thank you for what he did do for us. Thank you for dying for us. Thank you for living for us. Thank you for everything. Thank you for not only giving me an abundant life here, but thank you for giving me an eternal life. Thank you for providing that for me so I can teach my kids and other people the lessons that you have taught me. You know, and it's such a wonderful thing. And you know, it's so awesome how we have a Bible that was written so long ago but has so many answers to every question. And, of course, you know, the one thing that we always think about is Jesus is the answer. For the world today, above him, there is no other. Jesus is the way. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for each and every person here. And we thank you, Father, for your son, Jesus. And we thank you, Father, for what it means that he came, that he died, and he rose again. And we thank you that help each and every one of us to at points and times in our life, to remember how good we have it. Because of Jesus. But Father God, we thank you if anyone is here that does not know your son Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that tonight They will make Jesus their Lord. Or maybe there's someone here that at one point in time, they were a Christian and they were on the road, but then they turned their back and they went away and they want to come home and rededicate their life to Jesus. If you're here tonight and you say, Craig, I've never been saved, or at one time I was saved, but I turned my back and I went away and I want to rededicate my life, just lift your hand. We want to pray with you. Thank you, Father. Father God, I don't see any hands, but we thank you if anyone is here that doesn't know Jesus Christ, your Son, as their Lord and Savior of their life, that we thank you for sending laborers across our path on a daily basis. And we just thank you for everything that you're doing. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. Like I said, it is Communion Sunday. Amen. So we are going to take communion. You know, and of course, here at Rhema Bible Church, we believe, you know, in open communion. And so if you're a born-again Christian, you're welcome to take communion with us. Amen. At this time, the ushers are coming forward to bring forth the elements. And amen. While they're doing that, we'll have them sing.
Might become his righteousness. He humbled himself, carried the cross. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus has
once again, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 says, "For I received from the Lord, which I also delivered to you, that the Lord, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Go ahead and hold up your bread and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for this little wafer that represents the body of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Father, for sending your Son to this earth. But, Father God, we just thank you for Jesus. And we thank you that his body was broken and bruised and battered for us. And by his stripes, we were healed. And so, Father God, right now, as we take this bread, we take forth healing to our souls. We take forth life to our souls. We thank you for it now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Go ahead and break and eat. He goes on to say, in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So take your cup. This cup represents the blood of Jesus Christ that was spilled that day. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus. Your Son that suffered and died for us and became the ultimate Lamb, so that we didn't have to kill any more lambs. We thank you, Father, that the Lamb of Jesus Christ spilled that blood that day on Calvary. And that blood is so precious because that blood represents life. That blood represents life to us. And we thank you that as we take and drink this cup, we drink life to our souls. We thank you, Father, for life to every person that's here. And we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and drink. Hallelujah. Let's all stand up and let's sing with them.
Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow.
One more time, we thank you for the blood.
Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the blood of Jesus.
We thank you for your blood.
Thank you for the blood of Jesus. It washes.
Before we go, is there anyone that needs healing in their body and that you want prayer for healing? If there is, come down here. We want to minister to you. Anyone need healing? Anyone want to be prayed for? Amen. We've had many testimonies, and God's done wonderful things, you know, and healed us. Amen? Amen. Well, if you are a first-time visitor, we're glad to have you. We have our connection team, and they want to meet with you, and they want to take you back and give you a gift. And like I said, we're glad to have you tonight, and you know, come back. We're here every Sunday night, 6 p.m. Always a wonderful time. You know, I was going to say thank you for not wearing any mask or anything. Some of you look scary. No, I'm just kidding. You know, it's Halloween weekend. I know. I was watching some of the churches, you know, put people dressed up and things like that. But you guys look scary. No, I'm just kidding. You know, you're wonderful people. And I just want to also say, you know, I had an opportunity to go tonight to the Thunder game with my son. I did, and I was here, but it with you, and I'm glad I did. You know, it's always a wonderful time. Didn't want to miss it for the world. And Thunder plays plenty of games this year. I'm sure I'll make a few more. Amen. Well, praise God. The way we dismiss around here, they're going to sing a song. Give me time to get back to the door. I'll be to that door over there. If you don't want to shake my hand, there's a door over there. You can go out. Amen. God bless you. Take care. We'll have a good week, and we'll see you back here next week.